Jesus Christ as the rock taken from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Really, from verse 2 to verse 4. When we ended last week, among the points that were made at the end of the lesson was the fact that Israel's journey had brought them to Rephidim. In fact, the passage that the brother read just a few minutes ago is from this very passage of Exodus chapter 17, verse 1 through verse 6, where Israel marching from Egypt reach Rephidim, and the name means resting place. But Rephidim was more than a resting place. Reaching here, this was a place or a point of new trials for Israel. It was a place and a point of new challenges for Israel. It was a place of triumph or failure for Israel. Notice what I said. Rephidim meant that they have reached this point where they can be triumphant through their faith and trust in God, or they can fail. But you know what? It was also a place of new divine grace. It was here that Israel thirst. But it was not just an ordinary thirst. There was no one, as far as Israel could look around, that could provide water. There was no water available. And this has meaning. To this life and death, desperate situation of not only need for water, but lack of water. To this, Israel felt that neither Moses, their leader, nor nature, the surrounding, could or would respond to their desperate situation. Moses had shown right there that he doesn't know what to do. I need to clarify that, but give me a few seconds or minute. And the Israelites discover that when they look around, it's like nature made up its face that you're not going to get water from us. They had forgotten, as we do sometime, that many of life's problems can be solved by careful thinking, rational thinking. That's a fact. Many times you and I face problems that seems insurmountable. And we panic instead of thinking. Israel panicked, forgetting that many of life's problems can be solved by careful, rational thinking. Or some problem can be solved by reordering our priorities. Shift our priorities. What confronts me now can be because I have my priority wrong. The problem that we face sometimes comes from that. Other problems can be solved by positive thinking. It's not just simple positive thinking, but that we don't throw up our hands in hopelessness. That we see the problem before us as, I have to find a way through this problem or around it. When we begin to think like that, when we are confronted with problem, that type of thinking going to cause us to look for ways where we can get over or around the problem. Some problem can be solved. Wait, remember where we are. Israel is confronted by a severe problem. A great challenge. There was no water. And I'm saying too that you and I, we face problems. Those of us who are grown up, adult, we face problems and challenges of different sort. And I'm just running down briefly some of the ways that problem can be addressed. Some problem can be solved by discussion or by good counsel. By talking the issue over with whomever you have some issue, if that is possible, or by seeking counsel, guidance from somebody who can look at the problem another way and give you guidance. But you know what, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen? So many problems can be solved by prayer. You know what? Israel never thought of that. They had to blame somebody for their problem. And the closest person was Moses. And they believe that he's God's workman, so they want to blame God too. It's like Moses and God brought them here to kill them. When Moses cried to God and said that they're ready to stone him, it's because they show sign. No doubt some of them have some big rock in their hands. That's right. They never thought of prayer. When God's people feel hopeless and helpless, that is a great time to take the problem to God. Whenever in life you feel there's no way out, that is always a good time to take it to the Almighty God, because you must never forget that man's extremity is God's opportunity. Always when man reached the point where he felt things are totally hopeless, That's the time God usually comes in. The Israelite had faced that. It was when they reached almost the brink of the Red Sea and looked back and saw Pharaoh's army. It was then they realized that they'd done for. And God encouraged Moses. And Moses, it is as if Moses said, "What you kill up yourself for? Country people who die say, stand quiet and watch the salvation of the Lord." So in so many cases, when things look desperate and hopeless, that is the time to remember that there is a God who is a problem solver. May I? Prayer literally quiets our thoughts and our emotion. Whenever we have things that make us feel hopeless and what, if we pray to God in sincerity, believing that there is an able God, it does not only quiet our nerve, but it also quiet our emotion. Prayer does. We must not quickly and easily forget dark and hopeless situation we are faced through which the Almighty God have successfully brought us. You see, our memory plays a very important part in our serving God. Those of us who forget what God did for us yesterday and last month and last year, when we easily forget that, we are only setting up ourselves for Satan to use us. So I repeat, we must not quickly and easily forget dark and hopeless situation through which God has guided us. Israel did forget. Wait, look here, run. We're in chapter, the lesson surround chapter 17. Run with me to chapter 16. Verse 1 through verse 4. Let us hear it.
And they took their journey from Elim. Mm-hmm. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, mm-hmm. which is between Elim and Sinai. Uh-huh. On the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt.
Uh-huh. It's not even quite 2 months, you know. What verse is that? Verse 2?
The end of verse 1.
Okay, read on.
And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses.
They love to murmur against Moses and God. Watch here. They were hungry. But these are the same people who saw the mighty Red Sea divided. They saw that, but they forgot. But watch here now. Read on, brother. Read on.
Murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And the children of Israel said unto them, mm-hmm. Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt.
Would God, instead of leading us from this slavery, it was a wicked slavery that they were under for some 400 plus years. And here, and gratefully, because they are hungry, they are saying, we wish God had killed us there. People who have seen the mighty hands of God at the dividing of the Red Sea. Read, brother.
In the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye...
Wait. Material things can have, and it does have, a negative, devastating effect on our relationship with God. And we who live today must always remember that. Material things. In so many cases, we have all the time and energy in the world and fearlessness to pursue our material goal morning, noon, and night. Are we all there? But we hardly have time to come out to worship. God watches that. Material things. They were looking back on what they used to eat in Egypt. They forget the cruelty from which God had emancipated them. Read on, brother.
And when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole congregation with hunger.
They think if God wanted to kill them, God would wait so long. The Red Sea would be a good place for God to just drown all of them. Read that. What verse is that?
The end of verse 3.
Read, brother.
Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or
not. Keep in mind that every challenge they confronted, it was God's way of trying them. The same with us. As you and I face different challenge and problem each day, those challenges and problem are used to test us. What type of Christians are we? So notice here, remember, my lesson is not taken from what the brothers just read. That's Exodus chapter 16, verse 1 through verse 4. Watch here. The point is that the Almighty God provided angel food for them here. Get this now. It's not probably 2 or 3 weeks from this. Wait. It's just a few weeks from this that they met another challenge. And that is, in this case, it was not hunger so much, but water at Rephidim. That is in chapter 70. The entire lesson surrounds the incident of chapter 17. When we went here just now to chapter 16, it's just to show you how quickly and easily Israel forget God's graciousness. My God, okay, you are thirsty. But the same God who provided you miraculously bread few weeks ago is the same God that is still leading you. You're ready to curse God. In fact, the word murmur that we read in chapter 17 really literally means to quarrel. Is that just that then? We hungry, you know. No, they really go and want to have it out with Moses. They had forgotten how mightily and miraculously the Almighty God provided manna from them. But like we are in so many cases, some of us, is that we quickly and easily forget God's graciousness. Look at Psalms 106, verse 7 and verse 8. Psalms 106, verse 7 and verse 8.
Our fathers understood not thy wonders in
Egypt. It's the same people David talking about, you know. Our father didn't understand. Read.
Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt.
The wonders in Egypt.
They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies.
So read that again, brother. That's a mighty statement there. They did not remember what?
The multitude of thy mercies.
Wait, wait. It's not just mercy. Multitude. God had shown mercy to Israel over and over, and it's like the more mercy and the more miraculous provision God provides is the more Israel forget. We must make sure, brothers and sisters, that we are not like that, that we learn from Israel. What he said there, brother, read.
But provoked him at the sea.
They provoke him at the sea.
Even at the Red Sea.
Even at the Red Sea.
Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake.
God is always merciful. Wait. It was no chance or accident. Always have chapter 17 available. It was no chance or accident that caused the desperate need for water at Rephidim. It's not just that they were marching to the promised land and just by chance they reach a point that there was no water. God had led them to this point. God wanted them to have this experience. That's right. God purposely brought the Israelite into a situation in which they not only experience acute, desperate thirst, but they were also made to feel that in their desperate situation, neither Moses nor nature, by nature, I mean their surrounding, was in a position to help them. So here, they needed water. There was no possibility that they could say, just a mile from here, you know, there should be water found. They know that there was no water available. God purposely led them to this point. And you know what? I may just drop this by, that it is here that we see one of the most dominant and prominent traits of Moses' character. Moses was truly a man of patience. And the incident of Rephidim, where the Israel were ready to stone him to death, Moses in all of that crowd He was the one who remembered the value of prayer. Are we all there? What we see, this is a part of the man's character, that wherever you find Moses, at the appearance of any problem or difficulty, he always solicits the wisdom and the power of God to be of help to him. Wherever Moses see problem, challenge, obstacle before him, not one time, not two times. Let me just, we're not going to have time to read this. Let me just, we have seen Moses demonstrated this dependence and trust in God in Exodus 15, verse 24 through 25. In Exodus 17, verse 3 through verse 4. In Exodus 32, verse 7 through verse 11. In Exodus 33, verse 9 through verse 11. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 2 and verse 11. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 11 through 13. In Numbers 14, verse 10 through 13. All of these passages represent different incidents where Moses saw some problem before him. And you know what? He didn't panic. Moses had a way of dealing with his problem, and his way was get God's wisdom and God's power involved in it. And it always works. It never fails. Never fails. Let us hear Exodus 17 again, verse 2 to verse 6.
Wherefore, the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted therefore water. And the people murmured against Moses.
Yes, remember, murmured mean to quarrel. Read on.
And said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord.
That's right.
Saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people.
Yes.
And take with thee of the elders of Israel.
God is about to do his thing. But God usually always wants it to be witness. For testimony. That's right. God wants somebody other than just Moses to see how he's going to provide water. Read, brother.
And take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river.
That is the same rod that you use at the Red Sea. Is the same rod you should take with you. Read.
Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel.
Could we pause here? Because the substance of the whole lesson, starting from last week to this week, is about this smitten rock. This is quite significant and important. Brothers and sisters, the Almighty God told Moses that go up yonder, take your rod, carry the elders for them to witness what I'm about to do. And the Almighty God instruct Moses that when you go, you should strike the rock. Now that what the Bible refers to as smitten, to smite, to strike, to hit, all of that is about Jesus Christ. Man's sin, man's forgiveness, and man's salvation. That's right. I mean, what the brother has just read there about this smitten rock. Because remember, we read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 that Jesus Christ is that rock. Somebody don't believe that it is, dear brother. Let us hear it. 1 Corinthians, or is it 2 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter, did I say chapter 10 and verse 4? Let us hear it.
And did all drink the same spiritual drink?
Wait. You hear? It's not ordinary water. Well, if God provided so miraculously, it couldn't be ordinary water. The Bible referred to it as spiritual drink.
For they drank of that spiritual rock.
Wait. You know why it is brought up in the passage the brother is reading here, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4? It is pointing in Corinthians to the communion. Are we all there? So what I'm pointing out here is that what we see in Exodus chapter 17, verse 1 through verse 6, it's all about Jesus Christ. Our sin, our forgiveness, and our salvation. You are still in Corinthians. Read.
They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them.
And that rock
was Christ.
Are we all there? So when we read what is going on here, it's not just about Israel. Watch here now. They struck our smitten rock. And the water coming from it represents Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel. I'm not true. The desperate thirst that the Israelite experienced pointed to man's need for God and for Christ and for salvation. Wait. This is why, at least one of the reasons, the Almighty God used water and thirst. All of us adults here, we are perceptive enough and observant enough to know that thirst for water is much stronger than hunger for food. That's a fact. That's not debatable. Of all the body longings and desire, the one thing that came out on the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying it's the one thing he said. The one thing referring to bodily desire was, I thirst. There's no doubt Jesus Christ was hungry too. But on the cross, it was, I thirst. When the Almighty God brought Israel to Rephidim and made it that Moses, as a man, was not able to provide water. Naked nature had no water anywhere close by. Israelites felt they were going to die of thirst. All of that was pointing to the fact that outside of Jesus Christ, man is in desperate need. Are we all there? Without Christ, if you do not have Christ, there is a spiritual thirst for the grace of God, for the love of God, for the mercy of God, for the fellowship with God, and for God's forgiveness. The thirst that we see here at Rephidim in the children of Israel point to man's, not just the Israelite, but to our spiritual need. And watch here. They call on Moses. Moses couldn't help. And that is pointing to the fact that, are you all there? That man has a need, a deep spiritual need that only the Almighty God can help. No money, no worldly success, no achievement can replace that need. Wait. Thirst. You know what they need? Water. There are certain spiritual need in us that a lot of times we try to find substitute. Are we all there? You know, it's like a man who is thirsty. A lot of time a person who is thirsty feel like a good glass of lemonade would really do me good. Well, when you drink the good glass of lemonade, it will feel to some extent okay. Wait, to some extent. There's another person who may think, you know what? If I could get a beer right now. That's right. He thinks that that will really quench the thirst. There's another man or woman who may feel a person thirsty, and they may just foolish enough to feel like, if I could get a drink of rum. That's right. You see, all these, be it the lemonade or whatever, they may, for a moment, subsided the feeling of thirst. But do you know what? Water, just that pure water, is what the body needs. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, it matters not what substitute we find in that. Wait. There are men and women who they achieve here and they achieve there, and they find that there's still an emptiness, a longing. And they go after something else, and they find that there's still an emptiness, there's a longing. And they go after something else, and they are successful. And year by year, they are going after different things. But they find that this, the fulfillment and the satisfaction that they need to feel inside is not there. Watch here now. Many men and women go through life dying, trying to find substitute for Jesus Christ, not realizing that nothing can take Christ's place. Nothing. Nothing. And that's why when you see the Israelites became desperate, it was pointing to man's spiritual need for the mercy of God, for the grace of God, for the love of God, for forgiveness, for fellowship with God. Nothing can take God's place. Are we all there? Huh? Wait. Long ago, I almost wanted to say to you, I'm coming down to the last part of the lesson. Luckily, I didn't say it then. I want to say it now, but let me say it quietly. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, may I? As I've said, the desperate thirst points to man's need for Christ. Are we all there? Notice the life-giving water to save the Israelite. It was one miraculously provided. It was two, it was abounding. It's not going to run out. And three, it was life-giving. So is that which is provided to quench our spiritual thirst. Are we all there? Notice, look at John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. John chapter 7, 37 and 38.
In the last day.
In the last days.
That great day of the feast.
That great day of the feast.
Jesus stood and cried.
Jesus stood and bawled out.
Saying. If any man thirst. Let him come unto me.
Wait, you think Jesus Christ talk about drinking water here? No. It's the thirst for fellowship with God. The thirst for a relationship with God. It is the thirst for forgiveness. That's what is under, if any man thirst, the thirst of which Jesus Christ is speaking here, that is what, don't move from the passage, that is what the thirst of the Israelite in the passage of Exodus chapter 17 represent. Read, brother, if any man thirst,
Let him come unto me. And drink.
Wait, if you're here today and if you're not a child of God, in the words just read, Jesus Christ is calling you to himself. To let you know that you have longing, you have thirst. That can be satisfied only by Jesus Christ. Only by getting his forgiveness. Only by having God's grace in your life. Only by being in a right relationship with God. The word thirst is referring to a longing, a need. Read on, brother.
He that believeth in me, mm-hmm. as the scripture hath said, mm-hmm. out of his belly mm-hmm. shall flow rivers of living water.
That's right. All of this is about being in a right relationship with God. It's lightened to living water. Have you noticed something here? That the water provided for the Israelite, it was made available by an act of violence. You notice that? You didn't get it. The water provided the Israelite in Exodus chapter 17, verse 1 following, the water was provided by an act of violence. Moses had to strike. Moses had to lick the rock. That is telling us that the water, the spiritual food to satisfy our soul's longing, going to have to come through an act of violence. That is Jesus Christ being killed on the cruel cross of Calvary. In other words, Moses striking, this is what why Jesus Christ is likened to the smitten rock. Old and New Testament, Isaiah, talk about Jesus Christ being smitten. He is the smitten rock. That's right. When God told Moses that he should strike the rock, it was pointing to Jesus Christ's cruel death, his violent death. You notice that there is another time when they get water from the rock again. In Numbers. But this time, it was not struck. Because those two incidents have two different significance. This one in Exodus chapter 17, definitely pointing to Jesus Christ, man's desperate need, like the children thirsty for water. And how the Almighty God was the only one who could provide that which satisfies man's need. Jesus Christ made himself to us a perpetual. I'm definitely closing now, but you can turn with me to the passage of St. John chapter 4 and verse 14 as I try to wrap up. Christ made himself to us a perpetual, abiding, exhaustless source of constant living stream to satisfy our deepest thirst. Man's deepest need and desire and want is spiritual, not physical. And only the Almighty God through Jesus Christ can satisfy that. Don't try to replace Christ or to find substitute for Christ. There is none. It matters not what success you experience or what failure you experience. Only Jesus Christ can occupy the place in your life that was made for him. What John 4:14 says?
But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst.
Everybody hear that? This is talk about Christ is able to meet our spiritual need. That need is there, you know. Sometimes we try to find substitute for it. Man ever need Jesus Christ, whether he recognizes it or not. Are we all there? Look at Isaiah chapter 55, 1 through 2. Quick. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2.
Who?
Who?
Everyone that thirsteth.
Everyone that thirsteth.
Come ye to the waters.
Remember, this is not talk about physical water. It's talking about our need to be in fellowship with the Almighty God. This invitation from Isaiah is talking about our sins, which need to be forgiven. We need to be in fellowship with our Creator. That can come only after we have been forgiven through the blood of Christ. Oh, come. Yes, brother. Oh, come. Isaiah 55.
Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money.
And isn't this wonderful? When you come to Jesus Christ, you don't have to think in terms of, I wonder how much he might charge me. No, sir. The price has been paid. At Calvary. Read, brother.
Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread?
And the concept here, you know, is that we constantly spending for things that really do not give the satisfaction we need. Oh God, I need to end this, stop this lesson. May I, brothers and sisters, just one more point. That is, life without Jesus Christ in the Bible, life without being in a right relationship with God is likened to dry land or wilderness. Did you hear what I said? When a man or a woman live a life and that man or woman is not in a right relationship with his God, the Bible likens that life to a dry land or a wilderness. But you know, the same passage, run to it, Isaiah 41:18, shows that God can bring change and transformation. Let us hear the passage.
I will open rivers in high places. And fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water.
I will make the wilderness a pool of water.
And the dry land springs of water.
And the dry land, the wilderness and dry land is speaking about human life. Some lives are like that. When life is without Jesus Christ, it is like dry land. It is like wilderness. But the passage here implies that the Almighty God can bring about change and transformation. And may I? The Bible tells us that outside of Jesus Christ and outside of a right relationship with God, that men and women are dead spiritually while they live. What you say, Brother Mitchell? The Bible teaches that if you or I or any man live and you are not in a right obedient relationship with Jesus Christ, while you live walking around, you are spiritually dead. Look, I think, at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 22. Another brother, quickly turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6. Quick. Matthew 8:22.
But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead.
Wait, we are closing, definitely. But you need to, I just made a statement. And remember, we tell you, you can come back at 6 o'clock service if you're a visitor or member and seek clarification on anything. Ask question on anything that is preached. And this is the church's telephone number, 933-5550. I've just made a statement that any man, wherever they are found on this planet, if they are not in a right relationship with the Almighty God through Christ, in God's sight, they are dead spiritually, even while they are alive. They are considered dead people. The passage the brother has just read is about a funeral. And you know what? The funeral concerns a man who wanted to follow Christ. But he wanted time to go back to his father's funeral. Jesus Christ said what? Let the dead
bury their dead.
That is, come follow me. Let your relative who are there at the dead house, they are spiritually dead while they are physically alive. Christ is implying that the family were not in a right relationship with the Almighty God. And in that way, they were spiritually dead. Christ said to the man, or the would-be follower, you come follow me. Let the dead bury. Let those who are spiritually dead bury the man who is physically dead. That's right. So when we are not, right now, wherever in the world, men and women live and they, man, I feel so alive. But in God's sight, you are spiritually dead. You are without real life. Turn to the last passage, and that is 1 Timothy
chapter 5, verse 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth.
May I add something here to the Bible? But Brother Mitchell, you ought not to add to the Bible. Thank you for reminding me. What I mean when it says she, the passage implies that any man or woman live only for here and now. You are dead. Notice the passage.
Verse 7.
And
these things.
No, man. The same passage. 1 Timothy chapter
5, verse 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth.
You see, the scripture acknowledge that this person is still alive. They can go about their business. But it points out that the person is dead. What it means is that person is not in right relationship with Jesus Christ. The person has not been forgiven of his or her sin through faith, repentance, and baptism. So even though the person have physical life in him or herself, the person is spiritually dead. God, in God's sight, that man or woman is dead. The thousands, the millions of men and women all over the world that live for just here and now, they are dead while they live. You don't want that to happen to you. And you know what? Jesus Christ can fix that right now. That's right. You can come to Jesus Christ for him to quench your deepest thirst, that deepest longing desire you have is for Christ. Wait, haven't I read? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why did I forget to bring that across to you, found in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6? So our deepest need, desire, longing is for fellowship with God, for forgiveness of sin, in right relationship with God. That's where the deepest desire is. And that's why you see the Bible keep talking about water and quenching of thirst, and Christ invite people to come and drink. It's all about your forgiveness, you being in a right relationship with God. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Men and women who are outside of a right relationship with the Almighty God through Christ, the Almighty God in His Word says, you are dead while you live. But you know what? You are not here this morning by accident. No, sir. The Almighty God has been gracious to all of us in bringing us here. If you are here, you are not a Christian, you are here not by accident. God wants you to come and listen to this lesson where you can see reason that you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You have needs and longing only Christ can satisfy. And you can come giving your life to Him through faith in Him. That is to believe in Christ. Repentance from sin. That is to turn from your ungodly ways and turn to Christ. That is to confess Christ's name. That is not to be ashamed of Christ. And that is to be baptized. Mr. Mitchell, I was baptized, but my church sprinkled. Sprinkling is not baptism. God's baptism is a burial in water. You can come this morning and give your life to Jesus Christ as we stand and sing.